The Internet, the final frontier.
Hey there, you're listening to Bold to Going Nowhere. It's a podcast. You listen to it with your ears. Today's episode, I'll be offering a mishmash of musical musings. We'll talk about the 72-hour film fest, and Brian Massey is the night. I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakamas.
I'm Sean Holmes.
And you just got to the good part. Strap in and sit tight, because we are boldly going nowhere.
Love that song.
Me too. I missed it.
Yeah, I really missed. I said, why not? Well, you know, it's a podcast.
Let's just say why not to life.
Why
instead
not,
of why? Indeed. Let's say why not.
Yes.
So I'm mostly recovered from Halloween party last night, which was fun.
Yes, that was indeed.
Maybe
fun.
The decision to go to work the next day wasn't, but you know, I slammed a 5-hour energy and I was good to go.
Well, everyone needs that cash money.
Yeah.
That cash money, yes.
Indeed. So, Justin, how are you?
Like I said.
I mean, how are you now?
I'm pretty good, actually. Pretty good. I had an album review on to do this week, the Alabama Shakes, which was pretty hot this summer, particularly their single Hold On. But the internet is down here at Castaway Studios, so I can't bring
Speaking
up-
of which... It's down here at Castaway Studios because we're, you know, out of the green. But you can help support the studio, by the way.
Yeah, if that's like something
going
you're
to castawaystudios.com/support. And
there are numerous
we'll keep
ways.
The internet on here at Castaway
yeah,
Studios.
Yeah, help keep the internet on.
Please. We haven't seen memes in 3 days.
Help solve
going
first
insane.
World problems.
Is Sean starting to get the shakes?
I don't know. It's anyway, grapes of wrath out here.
For the price of a cup of coffee a day, you can help support first world problems.
Right. So FWP around here.
Anyway.
So, yeah. So your Alabama,
right,
your
so
Alabama
I'll,
shakes.
I guess I'll do that next week, assuming that we have internet. Or I could actually go out and download the album and purchase it, which you'd think for an album that I really like, I would actually own the music. But that's the thing about Spotify now. It obviates the need to actually buy music anymore. I mean, they still get money from being played on Spotify, but not really as much as they would actually get from you purchasing their albums. So
yeah, I mean, Spotify is a great app.
I love Spotify.
You know, don't get me wrong.
Well, the commercials are a little too intrusive for
me. I mean,
it's
not as, they're less intrusive, I think, than Pandora. I think there's less commercials than Pandora.
Really?
Nah, well, I wouldn't say
less. No, I could go for an hour
it's
listening to Pandora
same.
Without hearing one commercial.
I don't know. It's about the... Yeah, but I mean, Spotify is a more useful service than
yeah,
Pandora or Slacker. So.
Yes, I will admit that Spotify is far better because, you know, you can listen to what you want when you want to listen to
well,
it.
Well, I'm... As you know about me, I like to listen to full albums. So for me, that's why Spotify is the best possible music service for me.
Right. I mean, the issue with Pandora is it hops from song... from one band, from song from another band that sounds kind of like that previous band you wanted to listen to.
Right. Well, for the average person, that's usually what you're looking for. You just want to kind of set it and forget it. But for me, I like listening to full albums.
Yeah.
And no other, as far as I know, no other music service, streaming music service, allows you to listen to full albums.
I will say Spotify does have its issues. Like, I remember I wanted to listen to some Led Zeppelin the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't find the hard drive that I have that has my copies of it.
Yeah.
So I tried looking up some stuff on Spotify. Couldn't find it. All I found was like this shitty Led Zeppelin cover band.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, there are... They have a really large selection, but it is interesting the things that they don't have, which are bigger named artists.
Like
that,
like
they
Led
have
Zeppelin.
A lot of indie stuff. I noticed
which
that.
Which is
again,
good.
Great for me because that's usually what I'm looking for. Or, you know, old. They have a lot of back catalogs of artists. I mean, even other services that have those artists, they might not have their deeper cuts or their like original albums. They have it divided into albums, studio albums, live albums, singles.
They
other
have a lot of older
on.
Type of music. Like if you're looking for like Frank Sinatra, like that's in there. Mm-hmm. And
Dean Martin.
And Muddy Waters was in there.
Yeah,
I was really surprised they had Muddy Waters. I was like, okay.
You know
who
I was listening to just the other day while doing some work? Ry Cooder.
Ah.
Ah, Ry Cooder.
Say what you will about his humorous name. No, go ahead. Say what you will.
Oh, Cooter. That's all I got.
Yeah, but
the man is a gifted guitarist.
Yeah, I will say this much though. I was on Spotify the other day. You know what I got to listen to for like the first time in like forever?
What?
The Highlander soundtrack as done by Queen.
Yeah, that is awesome.
That is great.
A great soundtrack.
That's the soundtrack to victory. And seem we have some noise problems here at Cast Wave Studios.
Just pretend you don't.
Just pretend
any of that
you don't hear any of
in
that.
The background.
You shouldn't be able to hear Jordan talking in the background. But by the way, the shop BGN Comic Shop is up at Cast Wave Studios. So
yeah,
go ahead and
that's
look
the thing
at
you
that.
Can listen to.
Yeah.
I'm gonna soldier on here. So as I said, I can't do the album review, but there are a couple other things that I want to talk about real quick before we get to the meat and potatoes of this show, which is 72 Fest.
Yeah.
One, I want to talk about a few albums that I'm excited about. One is one that I didn't even know was coming out until I was flipping through a magazine today at Barnes & Noble, which is where I work now.
Did you want like a sound effect for your thing? It's not hipster douchebag, but it's pretty funny. You heard it before. It's a classic.
I'll take what you got.
It's a BG. It's a Bully Going Nowhere staple.
Oldie but a goodie.
It's oldie but a goodie. Ready?
I mean, go ahead.
Yeah. It's like 10,000 spoons when all you need is a knife. And isn't it ironic? Don't you think?
Thank you, Scott Fletcher.
You know,
delightful.
For like a fraction of a second, I thought he was going to bust out like the original sound effects.
That would be if he like pulled out the like Bale versus Obama or something like that.
Oh my God. I would
have
died.
Be really old. I would be amazed if you had
this
that.
This is before me.
Now you know that guy ate shit. You know he ate shit.
Oh.
You didn't learn that. Good for you.
Oh, good for you.
Okay. Yeah. There was a time when that was our sound effect list, Sean.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
So what happens when we go to a party with some sisters?
I'll tell you what happens.
Blam.
They all just let this know tomorrow.
High school chicks, university chicks,
it don't matter. Oh, good for you.
We should raise that up from the dead.
Yeah, we should, but you know what? Let's move on with your segment.
Yeah,
so tell us what you found.
So I'm flipping through a guitar magazine, and I see an interview with one of my favorite guitarists of all time, Steve Hackett from Genesis, and also long solo career, and find out in that article that Steve Hackett is putting out an album with Chris Squire, the bass player from Yes. So two of the most talented members of my two favorite bands are collaborating on an album, which is called Squawk It, because they combined Chris Squire, combined Squire and Hackett, so it's Squawk It.
I see what they did there.
Thank you. say what you will about the name.
I don't know, Squawk It's pretty good.
It's memorable. By the way, whenever I go, say what you will about such and such, that's your cue to make a stupid joke about it because I'm giving you an opportunity.
What's the name of that funny actor? I don't remember. What is it? Buddy Squacket?
No. I remember watching Full House with Bob Squacket.
Huh.
Yeah.
So that's something I'm really excited about because they've both, and I've, in addition to the work that they've done with their respective bands, they've both put out amazing solo efforts. Steve Hackett, check out Voyage of the Acolyte, which was the very first solo album he put out after he left Genesis in 1977, which almost doesn't even count as a solo album because he had half of the members from Genesis helping him on that album.
But you can't say it was like a group effort. It was mostly Steve Hackett.
Well, yes. I mean, it's his songwriting, but the fact that he has like his other fellow members playing on the album, it definitely still has the... It's still close enough to a Genesis album that...
Is it Phil Collins involved?
No.
Okay.
That's why I didn't say all of his former members.
Well, Phil Collins doesn't count.
Well, that's a discussion for another time.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't count.
He can't count.
He literally can't count.
Yeah.
Phil Collins cannot count to 10.
Yeah. I don't,
that's interesting considering he's a drummer. You'd think that's something he'd be able to do pretty well.
Drummers can be talented but not count.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he can feel it coming in the area, but he can't count on it.
Visual reference in an audio podcast. I'm looking over at the drummer for Stephen and the Hawkins right now.
Brian Massey.
No, that's a joke. Brian can count.
B. Massey, 1984.
He'll get a chance to defend himself because we're going to bring him in later.
Yeah,
I can count that many.
All right, he held up fingers.
Anyway. So, and Chris Squire, check out his solo album, Fish Out of Water. Great album. Enough said.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, that makes a good point. I remember, what was it? What was the name of the band? It had members of Guns N' Roses and had the lead singer from...
Velvet Revolver?
I mean, their first album was pretty good.
Contra, yeah.
Yeah, Contraband.
Contraband.
Yeah, Contra's a video game.
Well, yes, but I know there's an
what
album,
if the two combined
another album
into
that's
one?
Just called Contra, but... Oh, the second Vampire Weekend album. That's embarrassing. I like Vampire Weekend. I don't care.
Da-na-na-na-na. I like A-Punk. A-Punk's a really
Oxford
catchy
comma?
Song.
That's all their songs are really catchy. Okay.
I haven't listened to anything beyond A-Punk. A-Punk is what I know.
I don't know why they get so much shit. They're...
I love that music video. Is so. I love that music video. It's really good.
I will say this much though. I mean, combinations of artists who have been successful in groups and also successful solo, getting back together in a different capacity. Yeah. That I that has worked in the past.
Well, you know, I mean, I could just turn this segment into a discussion of supergroups that failed versus supergroups that were awesome. I mean, that would be a good discussion. We could.
I mean, that's something you can do for, yeah, you know, like,
I'll instance, do a little bit of research. I'll prepare some material for that because I think that would be a really good topic, would be a discussion of supergroups. Because the thing is, not all supergroups are created equal. A lot of them are less than the sum of their parts, one of which actually involved Steve Hackett. So now I'm thinking about this. Steve Hackett and Steve Howe, guitar player from Yes, who is also one of my favorite guitar players of all time. It is interesting that three of my favorite guitar players are named Steve. You would think two men of that talent coming together would create something brilliant. And they got together, made a little supergroup called GTR. It sucked. I mean, it sucked on ice.
Wow.
Sucked on ice.
Yeah.
So.
Kick shit's fine.
And that same subject, Asia. Well, we can save the talk of Asia for that when we do that segment.
You framed an Asia poster?
How hard did the guy at the frame store laugh when you brought that in? You know how I know you're gay? You framed an Asia poster.
Yeah.
You guys cool with the gay.
So even though there is a strike against him for GTR, I still think Squacket is going to be pretty cool.
I mean, seriously.
Just like saying that
word. No, I know, yeah. He's got my vote simply for the name Squacket.
Yeah.
Squacket. Because it sounds like a euphemism for rubbing one out.
Right. It really does.
Give me a minute. I gotta go squack it.
Anyway, you know, I didn't get with a chick, so I ended up squacking it.
Ended up squacking it.
Squacking it. Squacking and whacking it.
Yo, you squacking it in there, bro?
He's squacking,
you
man.
Squack it, bro?
Did that rag just cut me?
Go away, squack it.
I've been squacking on for like 2 weeks.
All right. Anyway,
well, I'll get that album and I'll give you a review.
No, I would say if on days where you don't have an album to review, that's definitely a good, you know, that's a good segment to go with.
Well, let's say we'll do that for two shows now. Next week will be the review of Alabama Shakes. Week after that, we'll talk about supergroups because there are a lot of supergroups that we could talk about.
Asia, do they all have capes?
Asia probably did. They were pretty 80s.
They're super groups.
Asia. Yeah. Oh, perms and platinum blonde. Oh. Yeah.
So the only other thing I wanted to talk about real quick was how working at my current job has actually caused me to hate or at least really dislike a band that I used to rather enjoy. And I love working at Barnes & Noble. I really do. The thing is, corporate has a strict list of what music you can play in the store.
Well, that's any corporate.
Right. I mean, that's any place.
Yeah.
And Barnes & Noble, it's better than your average.
If I hear Yamo be there one more time, I'm going to Yamo burn this place to the ground.
Wow.
We've been quoting 40-Year-Old Virgin a lot today.
Because it's a funny movie.
I just want to watch it. So
yeah.
It has been a while.
You know what? We should review that next week for BGN at the Movies.
Why do we review this movie that we've seen 800 times? Well, 801. Why not?
We have nothing to say on it other than it's awesome.
Yes.
Although, you know what we should review? Because you guys actually haven't seen it, so it will be an actual new review for you.
Mm-hmm.
get into the Greek, because we were just talking about that the other day.
Actually, yeah, and that would be a fresh pair of eyes.
Yeah.
Wait, have you not seen it?
I have not seen it.
We established that neither of you guys have seen it.
Wonder Twin Powers, activate, form of
am
podcast
review. Am I the only
review.
One in this room who has seen Get Him to the Greek?
Oh, God.
All right, perfect.
Brian hasn't seen it.
We'll watch it this weekend.
So, yeah, we'll watch it this weekend, and I guess next week.
Vintage.
Next week.
Yeah.
So tune in next week. Tune in next week. Brian Massey will be in on that on our podcast. Talk about Get Him to the Greek.
Well, what do you know about that? We actually planned a podcast in advance.
Yeah.
During a podcast.
Well, during a podcast.
Inception. Bong.
Okay. So enough dilly dallying. The band Mumford and Sons' new album came out recently, Babel, and Mumford and Sons, you know, their first album was really cool. You know, Little Lion Man got a ton of attention, and it was something different. Like, they're kind of bringing back this folk rock influence, and there weren't a lot of other bands at the time that were doing that exact same thing.
You mean besides Flight of the Conchords?
Well, Flight of the Conchords was like folk and B.
Good yeah. point.
That's what yeah. they—that's what they described themselves.
Yeah.
As the thing is, having listened to this Mumford and Sons album now so many times on repeat in the store, that guy's voice has become incredibly grating to me. It's just sad because I know I'm not going to go out and review the album. Whereas
it killed
I might
it through
have,
repetition.
I might have reviewed that album if I hadn't now been listening to it so many times. And the thing is, even though I've heard it so many times, I couldn't give you a review of it because it's not like I'm actively listening to it. It's background music. So I think what I've established is Mumford & Sons is cool music, not good for background music.
I had the same thing because I used to work at a...
It's too... I don't understand why they're playing it in a store. It's a really, you know, kind of a downer in terms of mood. Like, in a store, if you want people to shop and spend money, you should play things that are upbeat, which brings you to the other thing that they're playing. Sorry, you had a comment. Go ahead.
Yeah, I had a comment because I know exactly what you're going through because I used to work at Panera Bread and all they played was freeform jazz. freeform jazz and occasionally you have some easy listening. But I listened to that shit all the time and I got annoyed with it. Yeah. I really did. And it was a shame because before I worked there, I loved jazz.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
Well, it doesn't take me. They didn't play. Thank God they didn't play any Miles Davis.
Yeah.
Because that would have been a real tragedy.
Yeah.
I will say this much. Say what you will about Starbucks, you know, their business.
It's corporate.
Their business practices. I will say this much. When they got to play stuff over and over again, like, they play some pretty decent stuff.
And they have it, you know, like, it's pretty unobtrusive usually.
Yeah. Like, I mean, in the background, they have, like, some, you know, singer-songwriter you never heard of.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can recognize the beat. You know, like, oh, I might have heard this on the radio at some point.
Yeah.
You know, while I was listening to NPR. You know, or,
you
know.
You should tweet that.
Or, you know, some Michael Bublé.
The Bublé.
So, yeah, I mean, so I might have, had I listened to that under other circumstances, I probably would enjoy the album. But now it's tarnished for me. And the other thing that they're playing... I don't know the artist, I don't know the album, but it's like a 12 or 13-year-old girl who is an opera singer. But, I mean, she's a very talented singer. If you like opera, great. I mean, she sounds like an adult. But, again, not the kind of music that really fits the mood of a shopping environment, you know, where people are, you know, you want people to spend money, not stop, collapse on the floor and cry. Because they're so emotionally moved by this 12-year-old girl.
They're so emotionally moved, they just break down and rend their clothes and weep.
But I am, you know, I'm at the cash register, I'm checking someone out, and I hear something, I'm like, I actually had to stop what I was doing. I'm like, I'm sorry, ma'am. What is that? Because this 12-year-old opera singer was doing an operetta version of the song from Willy Wonka when they walk into the place where everything's edible. Come with me and you'll be in a world of pure imagination.
I'm sorry. You know what? Just on a side note, I think the Gene Wilder version of that song is great, but the Lou Rawls version,
hella
awesome.
Awesome.
That one is, I'm going to reference another podcast in a podcast, Bwong, Inception.
Bwong.
Michael Marishow plays it because every time they're mentioned Obama, and it's just take a step, count to three, come. And it's like, ladies and gentlemen, President Obama, come with me. And they start playing it. It is such a beautiful bit.
It's great because that song in itself is just awesome. It reminds me of that movie because that movie is awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, that's an example where someone took the original and did it way better.
Yeah, I was going to say, and Lou Rawls is probably, I mean, you might argue with me on this, Justin, but Lou Rawls, one of the best soul singers ever.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Lou Rawls is amazing. I would say also Bobby Womack is a close contender.
I don't know. Bobby Womack, I might put a little higher. I mean, I like Lou Rawls, don't get me wrong, but Bobby Womack's got a really good voice.
Well, I've also just been hearing him a lot because he's been collaborating with Gorillaz a lot. Which, by the way, if I know people seem to like the Plastic Beach review that we did way back.
Yeah.
Because I got some comments on the blog about it. I didn't even realize this. Gorillaz put out yet another new album, which I'll have to review because, again, it's amazing and completely different from what they did before.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's interesting how Gorillaz continues to just, like, climb in esteem for me. Like, they keep, like...
Amazing you.
Yeah, so amazing I can't even form a coherent sentence about it, but...
It's incredible.
So,
words are hard.
Yeah, so hearing, like, a 12-year-old girl doing an opera version of that song...
Was it Charlotte Church?
Maybe. If I had the internet, I could look it up.
Charlotte Church?
Yeah, she was like a little preteen that was getting really popular because she was singing a lot. She had a good set of pipes on her, and she was...
If it's recent, is it like a recent...
Well, I mean, news? She was... I mean, I don't know. I don't know if she's put out anything recent. I mean,
well,
I just...
Maybe that's it. I don't know.
Maybe? I don't know.
So, I guess the moral of the story is when you have to listen to something at your job, it really clouds your appreciation for it. So, that's my music segment for this week.
Alrighty. So we're at BG at the movies, and I think I don't. Yeah, you know, I didn't get the music for BG at the movies, but
meh. That's...
I mean, I could get something else, but so what are we reviewing this week, Colin?
Well, obviously, we don't have a movie to review because this last weekend was the 72-hour film festival in Frederick, Maryland. And for those of you who aren't aware of the 72 Fest, I don't know if a lot of you have heard of 48-hour film festivals. They're pretty popular in Baltimore and D.C.
Yeah, the one in D.C. is pretty big.
Yeah. Well, the creators of the 72 Festival were actually instrumental in the D.C. Festival. And when they were offered to open one up here in Frederick, they were uninterested in associating with the 48-hour festival. At least I believe that's the case. And they decided to start their own.
Mm-hmm.
Thus, 72 Fest was born. And I believe they said it was 7 years running now? 8 years? 7 or 8 years now. Seven years, Jordan?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. All right,
then.
So, 7 years now.
Go on.
Anyway, 7 years. 7 years they've been running this festival, and we've particularly been involved in the last four. Sean, you and I.
Yeah.
So with the exception of last year for you because you were in Maine.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we've had teams participating in the last 4 years. Film Lovables, the film group that we all work with, has been the last two. We fielded a team with them the last 2 years. And you should check out some of their stuff. It's youtube.com/film.lovables.
Yeah, you can also go to filmlovables.com.
Yes.
To get everything.
And they do everything from photography to videography.
Yes,
all that cool shit.
I've seen they've done music videos for local artists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're getting into wedding photography. In discussions. It's not pasted yet, and it's not laid in stone, but they might be doing a music video for a band that we're all in.
Really? That would be pretty sweet.
That's snazzy.
So I'm going to bring it up in the next meeting that they have.
All right. Awesome. Well, the reason I bring this up is because, like I said, the festival itself, where they showcase all the films, was actually this weekend. We actually went on Friday, and we watched the showcase where they show all the films. The first block being the student films, the second block being the amateur and the pro films.
Yeah.
And we were in the pro block. A lot of stiff competition this year, I will admit.
I heard there was a lot of stiff competition.
Well, Justin was in the... He actually came during the intermission.
Yeah, I was not able to participate with the, you know, the filming
well,
or anything this week.
You had to work, so.
This year. But, yeah, I, of course, came out to support my friends.
No.
And, well, okay, so first of all, you got to know this year's 72 Fest was quite different from
yes.
previous years in that they did not they being the teams, did not exactly have full creative control over the films that they made
yes.
because the scripts were given to them.
Yeah, let's actually explain this. In the first 6 years of this competition, the idea was on Thursday night, you'd be given just a piece of criteria.
Yeah.
And
it
they
might
say,
be like a line of dialogue, an item, or a name you had to use.
Or a proverb.
Yeah.
And the only condition was you must incorporate this into your project. Doesn't matter how you do it, but you have to do
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So then you're basically told, okay, you have 72 hours from this moment
right.
to write, film, edit, and then get your film back to us. You have 72 hours to do that. Go. And so this year was a little different because they incorporated a new contest called the 72 Script Fest, which basically any writers, and mind you, this wasn't just limited to writers from the U.S. They had entries from Canada, England, and France in this competition. But basically the idea was you were given three pieces of criteria which you had to incorporate into the project, which you had to incorporate into your script somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to get it back to them in 72 hours. I believe they had 29 scripts total.
Yeah.
29 scripts total that made it past the judging phase, which were incorporated, and that was the criteria that you were given this year in the 72 Film Fest. So this year we were basically told, okay, here's the list of scripts. Pick three or four that you like. And then when we call your name, come up. Pick the script you want if it's still up here. Now, some of the teams had to double up on scripts due to the fact that there were only so many choices.
Right.
So during
because there were something like what 80 something teams.
No. There were only 30.
Oh, where did I get 80 from?
That was last year.
Oh,
last year's
86,
partition.
Right?
There were like a lot of teams. I think there were something in the vicinity of like 50 to 60.
I was there for the launch last year's launch.
I still don't know where I'm getting 80 from, but whatever.
Well, and so this year's fest was very different because you didn't get. I mean, it actually worked for some teams, but not so much for others because some of the others were used to that old way of doing things, which, you know, okay, we're allowed to do whatever we want. We just have to incorporate this one little bit. For our team, I think we did rather well.
I think like in terms of this year.
Well, can I offer my opinion as someone who wasn't involved in
there
the creation?
There we go. Yeah,
sure.
Let's do that.
What I appreciated about Film Lovable's submission. And this brings me to one of a couple issues that I had with this year's crop of films. And there were some really great films, don't get me wrong. What you guys did is you played it straight. You took the script, you pretty much, you're like, all right, we're going to do that story. What bothered me is that some of the teams took these scripts like, well, we didn't get to write our script. So instead of using it, they basically decided to do the hipster thing and do it ironically and kind of make fun of the material that they were given. Perfect example for me, and this one, I mean, it was entertaining, but the one where they had a professional dance troupe come in and do an interpretive dance of the story of the script. It's like, okay, it was a cool idea, but it's clearly like they're doing it to make fun of the story that they were given because they were like, well, this story's stupid. Let's not do an actual film of it. Let's.
That's the wrong. I think it's the wrong way to go about it.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, you're too smart for your own good, because it just feels disrespectful to the person who wrote the script.
Doesn't even show a sign of intelligence.
Yeah,
that could go straight to the ironic sense. I mean, the script would have to be really horrible, and even if it was, you represent that script. And these are winners of the 72 Fest. Am I wrong? Or these are finalists? These are the scripts that that
I'm
made
not
it because
sure.
all these scripts, you know, came from the 72 Script Fest.
Yeah, I mean they all had to get past some initial.
Yeah, these,
they went through a filter.
Yeah, every script that was used in the film festival had passed the judging portion of the 72 Script Fest and were basically decided. Yes, these are moving on. These are the scripts that are going to go into the film festival.
Yeah.
Right.
And yeah, those were choices that were made, and you know what? You can't, even though we might not technically agree with how the team went about it, I mean, that was their choice. I mean, there's basically...
Oh, I know.
Yeah,
it's totally your choice, just as it's my choice to have an opinion about it.
Oh, yeah.
My opinion is, if you don't like the material you're given, too bad. That's the whole point of the contest. Like, to sort of flaunt the criteria and try to, like, skirt your way around it, it was clever. But it just, to me, it feels, I don't know, it feels kind of wrong. Like, sure.
I think we have Jordan Hazelwood from BGN Comic Shop is going to give us an opinion here.
Oh, thank you very much. I apologize for barging in like this, but I did have something I thought I could share with that that line of thought that I was, of course, I played a minor role and I did some other.
The police chief.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes. Chief Jones, who you know he's a chief because he has a American flag on his lapel. But yeah, the script we received, we changed a lot. I remember when this was first described to me. Since I missed the launch party, I happened to have a midterm I was taking at the time. I thought that the way it was described to me was that we would have to film the script like in verbatim, like you know we had it was to the letter, and we actually ended up changing quite a lot.
Yeah, it's the idea is that you were given the script and it was if you needed to change dialogue, okay, you can change dialogue. Mm-hmm. If you needed to change certain characters around to make the story work, you could do that. But the overall narrative of the story had to stay the same.
Mm-hmm.
In our case, yes, we had to cut. We didn't change. Mm-hmm. We did have to improvise some of the dialogue. Just because some of the dialogue left a little bit of a plot hole.
Yeah, it occurs to me that have we described what our movie was like?
No.
Okay.
No, we were getting around to that.
All right then, but I guess all right. I'll just say one last thing and then I'll yield the floor. Our movie was supposed to be a film noir set in the 1980s.
Yeah.
And that some I mean, it may sound a little incongruous to you. It certainly did to me. But I find it interesting that the only real sign that this is supposed to be the 80s, considering that pretty much everyone else wears suits and fedoras, and it's in black and white, and there's a languorous piano soundtrack to the film, mm-hmm. is that in one scene your character was supposed to return to his friend from the trip to the corner store and say what was it? Hey Frankie, I got your McDLTs from McDonald's.
Yeah.
By the way, have you heard of the new Huey Lewis album? It's totally tubular.
Yeah, something to that effect.
I mean, I'm glad you changed.
That was the entirety of the 80s influence.
Yeah.
And like right. I had to have someone describe to me, remind me what the McDLTs were. They're the burger that came in separate partitions of like thermos 80s, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we were able to change that.
Yes. And yeah, I think the issue that Justin was having was it's not that our changes to the script were fairly minimal.
Right, you didn't change mostly, the basic narrative.
Yeah, no, we didn't change the narrative. It was mostly we had to adjust certain portions of dialogue because it left plot holes that we then couldn't explain.
Right.
And also, if we had filmed it and we had gone through it bit by bit, we actually would have ended up 3 minutes over on the mm-hmm. time limit. We were only given 7 minutes to complete the narrative.
Yeah.
And we ended up at 10 minutes.
Yeah, so. And I realized that all the teams, you know, had freedom to take certain liberties with their scripts. And, of course, it wouldn't be fun if you had to stick word for word to the script. So I just want to express that this comes down to a personal bias, which I want to admit. Which is that I'm a writer. Like, for me, story comes first. And I'm not a film buff. I didn't major in film. I didn't study film. So I realize that to other people, they don't see it the same way. Like, film is its own art, you know, its own art form.
On your own art style, yeah.
Right, separate from story. But to me, as a writer, film is just another vehicle for telling a story. So a film that doesn't tell a story is one that I'm not interested in. And I realize that that's why I'm not into avant-garde stuff. I'm not into, you know,
experimental
art film. I'm not in. It just doesn't interest me because it doesn't tell a story.
I've majored in film. I don't even get into experimental stuff.
Right. And I realize there are people out there who are going to take issue with
that.
Who are like, you can tell stories in an experimental format. Please feel free to argue with me because I'd love to have a discussion about that. I'm just saying, to me, that style is not compelling.
Okay. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back to discussion on the 72 Fest.
All righty. Stay tuned.
Today's show is brought to you by Castwave Studios' Amazon page. Go to castwavestudios.com and click the Boldly Going Shopping tab and search for everything from Apple iPads to zebra striped Snuggies. Oh, it's so cozy. This supports the studio and helps keep the lights on. Click the Boldly Going Shopping tab at castwavestudios.com.
All right, we're back. And going back to the subject that you were just discussing, Justin.
I was going to say, we could get, now that we've gotten the serious stuff out of the way.
Well,
we could...
no, I mean, there was one other thing that I really, there was a group, I don't honestly remember the group's name. They had done a project the previous year, which had really gone over well with certain, with pretty much everybody.
Right.
I think you were with us in the audience. It was the sequel to Dick Dangerous.
Yes.
Okay, here's the thing. I understand, you know, appealing to the lowest common denominator, it usually ends up working in your favor. It kind of did piss me off, though, because we didn't make it to the second night. And, I mean, you know, like I said...
Really?
Because
I didn't remember you having anything negative to say about them when we were first walking out. But I guess now that it's kind of percolated for you.
It's, if you think about it, it's, you know, a lot of people go through the trouble to follow the criteria to the letter. And then, you know, okay, one of the awards, one of the, you know, stipulations of the festival is that if you aren't one of the films chosen, you can then be voted in by the audience.
Mm-hmm.
To move on to the second night.
Like a People's Choice Award.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My only issue is that, okay, the group did a film last year called Dick Dangerous, which is basically a cartoon. I mean, it's basically
hand-drawn.
Yeah, it's hand-drawn single stills of every single image.
It was awesome.
Yes, last year's entry was awesome. Last year, it didn't matter because... You still had the freedom to do whatever the hell you wanted.
Right. So it was very novel.
This year, it didn't make any sense because, you know, they were given a script. You had to do this. And they just did a sequel to Dick Dangerous. And because...
So what you're saying is that should disqualify them.
Yeah, I mean...
I agree.
I don't want to sound like a sore loser because some people will take that assumption.
No, I totally agree.
I thought the film was... I laughed my ass off, okay?
Yeah.
I thought it was funny as hell, but I don't think it's fair that certain films that followed the letter of, you know, the law when it came to this festival, you know, were now knocked out of the running because, we got to see Hitlersaurus Rex... And Dick Dangerous do battle.
Yeah, Adolphosaurus.
I'm sorry, Adolphosaurus Rex. And,
oh, wow.
Dick Dangerous do battle.
Oh, wow.
Again.
Yeah. Again?
And again. Yeah, it was really funny. Like,
yeah,
they had some really
solid
jokes.
Didn't the last Dick Dangerous came off as a cliffhanger? Didn't?
Yeah, I think it was that.
I don't think they're worried too much about continuity.
Yeah.
That was pretty, pretty awesome.
But again, it was kind of a slap in the face because as soon as the films were done and, you know, the ones that were moving on to the next night, and then they announced, okay, here's who you can vote for. People in the audience were screaming, Dick Dangerous! Dick Dangerous! I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I mean, I'm sorry. I thought it was funny, but they didn't do what everyone else did. Like, we all worked hard.
I think voting in at the place... Voting at the event shouldn't be that should be done with.
Right.
And this is why. Because you have intoxicated people going to, because, you know, Weinberg has, you know, booze right there.
You get delicious flying dog beer in the lobby.
Which is awesome, by the way. And then, you know, you come back from intermission and then you're all effed up. and then they do it by audience cheers. Of course they're going to vote for something the most retarded.
It's not like they have an actual, like, an applause-o-meter on stage.
No, it's
like,
you text who you want to the number they set up. But again, I don't mind so much that there is the audience choice participation. I'm just saying,
the audience shouldn't be able to choose something that didn't follow the rules.
No, yeah, I mean, like, I remember in years past,
it should be if you don't follow the rules, you're disqualified from any awards whatsoever.
Yeah, and you can still screen your film. That's fine.
You still screen it.
Because I remember in years past, that was the deal. Like, what films that didn't meet the criteria or just flat out ignored it were judged, and, you know, okay, they didn't move on because they didn't follow the rules, but people found the outlandish humor so funny, they just, okay, you move on to the second night.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's something that needs to be
changed.
And see, that's the thing. I don't even mind so much that our team didn't make it on, but there were films that, when I saw them, I thought, okay, this film, better than ours. Understanding. Yeah. But still didn't make it to the second night. I was like, okay, I'm perfectly happy voting for this. You know? And, you know, I was like, you know what? I just realized that I literally knew walking out of the theater, I was like, I'm voting for our team to move on for the second night just because we didn't make it. But I knew getting to the door, I was like, Dick Dangerous is moving on.
Right.
I mean, there's no way around it.
Yeah.
Right.
And I guess I just feel that's unfair for those of us who followed the rules. But yeah, at the same time, I feel a little hypocritical because I laughed my ass off at it.
Yeah, well, okay, so let's get to the thing that I personally really wanted to talk about.
All right, what did you want to talk about?
This year's 72 Fest was the biggest mindfuck fest that I've ever seen. So many films in this year's contest, total mindfucks. And the one that, I mean, pissed me off more than, you know, Dick Dangerous moving through, which it is unfair. But one, like, where the guy is using the film to push his own crazy uber conservative agenda, and then, like, I was cracking up. I mean, I was laughing my ass off.
Yeah. Now, mind you,
I mean, that was the one that was completely met with crickets.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, mind you,
I saw the script that's supposed to be a satire.
Yeah.
It's a satire.
Like, as the movie, when it started, I was like, okay, please, I want to believe that this is a satire.
Now, mind you, just so you know, there was a student version of that where the guy actually dressed up in a George Washington costume, went across the street and beat some dude up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I assume you're referring to the one with the hand-drawn images as well.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a completely different. Yeah, this is a completely different. This is a completely different project from the one we were previously speaking of.
All I know is what I saw.
Yeah,
that's all I can speak to.
Yeah, and
it was fucked up
a little bit. It was kind of messed up.
And no one spoke of it again.
Nope.
Now, to move on to a different subject. Now, the 72 Fest. You wrapped up everything you wanted to say about it.
Yeah, it fucked with my head a lot, but I also laughed a lot.
Yeah, I mean, yes, certain elements were funny, but yes, certain films, mindfuck central.
Yeah, Carl from Film Lovables got this, I think it's it was a costume. Yeah, it was a decent costume. It was a very, very decent costume.
I know
of
where
the,
this is going.
The Dark Knight, the actual Dark Knight costume, and Brian, and he got it for Brian because, as you know, Brian's the DC guy in a BGN comic shop, and he really likes Batman.
Like,
so,
like,
a lot. Like, a lot.
Like, to a concerning degree.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I mean, like,
he has
seriously
a male doll that's like 6 feet high, and he sleeps with it every night. Just kidding. Anyway.
No one was supposed to.
But anyway, Brian put on this costume, and he goes, "Hey, dude, I'm gonna hit the town as the Dark Knight." I'm like, "Okay." So I'm like, "We need to record this," and I was like, "John," and he's like, "Yeah." I was like, "Grab your. You have an iPhone, right? Yeah. All right, let's do this. We go down to the comic shop. our local comic book store, Brainstorm Comics. We walk in, and he keeps on yelling, "My parents are dead." And at one point, there was like a crowd of people in the store, and he was, yeah, Brian, come up here and yeah,
hey, what's happening?
You came in, and people came in as this is right towards the tail end of what was going down. Mm-hmm. You shouted, "My parents are dead!" Just reacting to the people that walked in, and as I was walking out the door because I was rolling with laughter. It fell dead silent, and then it made me laugh even more just because I knew it was I walked out of the awkward era there.
The thing that got to me was like when I saw that when I heard you say that because I had walked out of there. And by the way, this costume, I don't have any peripheral vision in this costume at all. Okay, my sound is deafened by like 25%. I have no peripheral vision, so I'm out the door. I'm like, all right, moving on to my next victim or whatever. So. I don't even get to look right behind me, but you mentioned to me, it's like, hey, you mentioned to me later about what had happened in there. I couldn't help but just laugh just because you would think that some guy rolling in dressed as Batman going, my parents are dead.
Right.
Right. You would think that like that would make people crack up. Nobody laughed.
Because it's my fucked up humor, it made me laugh even more that they did not laugh.
Yeah, see, the thing is, Brian, is, you see that sort of thing on YouTube, you'll crack the fuck up.
Oh, my gosh.
You see that kind of shit happening to you?
In real life, yeah.
In real life, yeah, forget about it.
You're like...
No, the thing is, and like, there's people, like, Ma and Pa, there's these old ladies walking in. They obviously walked in the comic shop and just wanted to get something for their grandson,
Well, with the old ladies, it's possible that their parents are also dead.
That brings painful memories back.
Uncle Ben's rice.
Thank God for life alert.
Anyway. Now, mind you, there were many, like, chicanery going on. Brian went to the comic store. He went to a Five Guys.
Yes. He went down to the, like, past the bars, mm-hmm. and he got... pictures taken with people.
Oh my God.
And people were like, I think my favorite comment from someone and this guy go as some bro. I don't know what a brosif, you know, the type.
Yeah, bro.
And he puts up his fist towards Brian. And he goes, "For justice." And then Brian not even missing a beat. And he goes, "And pizza." And he fist bumps him back. I was like, wow, that just happened. Whoa. I was in that moment. I was there.
I will say this much. The funniest moment of that night, which is also on video, which we're going to put up on the Castwave Studios YouTube not too long from now, is Brian dressed as Batman watching Dora the Explorer.
Yes.
And like him actually responding to the show as if Dora can hear him.
Yes.
So all you hear is Dora's like, "What's your name?"
"Batman."
"Sorry, what was your name?"
"Batman."
And he's just, the frustration, because the two edges of like just the contrast, the pure contrast of it is palpable.
"I don't trust that fox."
I love it.
"That monkey wearing boots. That monkey's wearing boots.
The monkey's wearing boots." He said it real fast. Up.
No,
he repeat himself. I was like,
yeah, I take that back. That was the second funniest thing. The funniest thing that happened was Brian was wearing the Batman suit and they had the Kinect set up at the Haven. And for 15 fucking minutes, Brian was in front of it. And the Kinect could not recognize him.
I went ahead and archived your Facebook post that Batman is the hero that Gotham City deserves, but not the one the Kinect can recognize.
Batman's the hero hero that Gotham wants, but not the Kinect can detect.
Yeah, but here's the crack. The thing that's cracking me up. There's this 4-year-old girl at the Haven
who looks like Annie, for fuck's sake.
Yeah,
guess what her name is?
What?
Robin.
Yeah.
You're shitting me.
That's
her name.
Her
name was really
that
Robin.
That is her what? Name. That is her name.
Batman Mind and fuck. Robin were playing the Kinect.
Yes.
Mind fuck. Okay,
I know.
Anyway.
I am dead set. That's her name.
All right. Anyway.
I asked.
Anyway.
Directed by Joel Schumacher.
But she should use her real name, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
All right. But all right. So here's
I like your
here's,
name.
Here's
you should use your
thing.
Name. Just
so
go look.
This little girl is playing Fruit Ninja right on the Kinect, and this out
well,
of
you know, Batman was trained as a ninja.
Right. All and right. out of nowhere, in lumbers Batman. He's like, hey, can I play this game with you? She doesn't even look freaking out. She's like, sure.
Sure.
So she scoots sure. over, and the Kinect recognizes there are two players. Well, at first, it recognizes just her. And then Brian walks in, and he starts waving his fists around frantically. He's like, it doesn't recognize me. He's for 5 minutes, it's just doing that. And then
he took off his gloves.
It kind of recognizes him for like a fraction of a second, so then he like moves his hands up like he's actually going to start playing, and then it completely loses him.
Well, he is the knight.
Exactly.
Batman playing Fruit Ninja or whatever.
I know. It is... It's borderline hilarious, and then I
mean, they've got... Not borderline. It crossed the border. It completely dodged it. Yeah, that was probably the most memorable experience of the entire month, year.
You know what? Now looking back on it, I think we would have gotten audience choice if we had just put in that commercial of Brian dressed as Batman. He was promoting Monster Energy Drink. He was like, "Hi, I'm Batman. You know, patrolling the night is kind of tough. That's why I like to drink Monster Energy Drink." My parents are dead. He walks off screen. I'm sorry, Brian, what was the exact
word? Okay, let me see if I can remember it. It was,
"Hi, I'm Batman. And if you're like me, you get up a monster thirst. That's why I drink Monster Energy. My parents are dead." And I take a swig of it. And so I look at the camera and I walk off. I'm like, "My parents are dead." It just cuts. It's
Monster Energy Drink. My parents are dead.
Monster Energy Drink. My parents are dead. Now in singles.
Now with chocolate, people. Goodness. What was the last one? Chocolate.
Chocolate? Oh, God. Okay. Yeah, now if I thought about that, if we had put that in the credit sequence, we would have won. We would have won. We would have gone on to the second night as the audience choice.
Absolutely no relevance to what came before, but I love it.
Ermagerd.
Know your audience. Pander to your audience, sir.
I know.
Your audience loves Batman.
And they love non sequiturs.
And non sequiturs, yes.
All right, bananas.
Well, all right. Well, that's officially it. Oh wait, Auschwitz. But plugs.
But
plugs. That sounded great.
Yeah, but plugs. Go to Castwave Studios and just check it out. It's awesome, right, yeah. Justin?
It is fantastic. It is the website where you will find podcasts and videos and music and more.
And more.
You didn't see that him. He was shaking his head.
Visual reference and an audio podcast
again,
number two.
Also,
you can go to the Twitter.
You go to Twitter? What's our Twitter? What's our
Twitter?
It's
at BGN Podcasts.
Ah.
Don't forget the S.
Yes.
And always remember, keep your comments concise. The enemy may be watching.
Anyway. You go to
only
Castwave
you can
Studio.
Prevent internet trolls.
No, you can't.
You go to castwavestudios.com/support and help us to keep the internet and lights and, you know, feed us. here at Castwave Studios, we're starving.
You take that damn mask off, Brian.
All right.
Hey,
no, go ahead.
It really helps. So okay. Just do that. Go, you click that, and
I think you can
sponsor a Bully Going Nowhere show segment. You can still do that. That's still there. You can also go to castwaystudios.com/join and you can make your own podcast. So it just leads right there into the email and send us your 5 to 10 minute MP3.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap things up for us. We're going to end with a message from our sponsor, Bane. Until next time, I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakamas.
And I'm Sean Holmes.
Yes, indeed. And if you want to see some kind of drunken foolery, go ahead and check out One Drunk Geek on YouTube, starring Brian Massey and Sean Holmes. That's right, I know your name, bitch.
Outro.
Boldly Going Nowhere. Castwave Studios production. For other shows and more, visit castwavestudios.com.
Wow, that sounded great.